The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Henry Jekyll's full statement of the case. Dr. Jekyll reflects on his intentions and motives for going ahead with this project.
With every day, and from both sides of my intelligence, the moral and the intellectual, I thus drew steadily nearer to the truth, by whose partial discovery I have been doomed to such a dreadful shipwreck, that man is not truly one, but truly two. It was on the moral side, and in my own person, that I learned to recognize the thorough and primitive duality of man. If each of these elements, I told myself, could but be housed in different identities, life would be relieved of all that was unbearable.
But Dr. Jekyll also has his doubts before he decides to test out his theories.
I hesitated long before I put this theory to the test of practice. I knew well that I risked death, for any drug that so potently controlled and shook the very fortress of identity might, by the least scruple of an overdose, or at the least inopportunity in the moment of exhibition, utterly blot out that immaterial tabernacle which I looked to it to change. But the temptation of a discovery so singular and profound at last overcame the suggestions of alarm. I had long since prepared my tincture. I purchased, at once, from a firm of wholesale chemists, a large quantity of a particular salt, which I knew from my experiments to be the last ingredient to be required. And late, one accursed night, I compounded the elements, watched them boil and smoke together in the glass, and when the ebullition had subsided, with a strong glow of courage, drank off the potion.
The effects were agonizing and horrifying. But gradually, he feels like coming out of sickness and describes the sensation as incredibly sweet.
I knew myself, at the very first breath of this new life, to be more wicked, tenfold more wicked, sold a slave to my original evil. And the thought, in that moment, braced and delighted me like wine. I stretched out my hands, exulting in the freshness of these sensations. And in the act, I was suddenly aware that I had lost in stature. I saw for the first time the appearance of Mr. Hyde. I have observed that when I bore the semblance of Mr. Hyde, none could come near me first without the misgivings of the flesh. This, as I take it, was because all human beings, as we meet them, are commingled out of good and evil. And Edward Hyde, alone in the ranks of mankind, was pure evil.
Then Edward Hyde is out in the dark and foggy back streets of London, giving way to his purely evil self. Dr. Jekyll is fascinated by the success of his experiment, since he can undo his transformation just like that.
Think of it! I did not even exist! Let me but escape into my laboratory door. Give me but a second or two to mix and swallow the draught that I had always standing ready, and whatever he had done, Edward Hyde would pass away like the stain of breath upon a mirror, and there, in his stead, quietly at home, trimming the midnight lamp in his study, a man who could afford to laugh at suspicion would be Henry Jekyll.
But Dr. Jekyll also has his doubts, and reproaches Mr. Hyde for his malicious activity, so he needs to talk himself into self-approval.
It was Hyde, after all, and Hyde alone that was guilty. Jekyll was no worse. He woke again to his good qualities, seemingly unimpaired. He would even make haste, where it was possible, to undo the evil done by Hyde. And thus his conscience slumbered.
But now his experiment takes an unexpected turn, as he one morning wakes up and his eyes fall upon his hand.
I smiled to myself, when in one of my wakeful moments, my eye fell upon my hand. Now the hand of Henry Jekyll was professional in shape and size. It was large, firm, white and comely. But the hand which I now saw, clearly enough in the yellow light of a mid-London morning, lying half shut on the bedclothes, was lean, corded, knuckly, of a dusky pallor, and thickly shaded with a swart growth of hair. It was the hand of Edward Hyde. Yes, I had gone to bed Henry Jekyll. I had awaked Edward Hyde. How was this to be explained? I asked myself. And then, with another bound of terror, how was it to be remedied?
The tables are turned. Dr. Jekyll has lost control of his experiment. His evil alter ego, Mr. Hyde, is taking over, and now he must take the drugs to restore his original personality. This scares him, as he understands how his two egos are struggling for control, and for a couple of months he manages to refrain from further experiments. However, the abstinence becomes too strong, and in an hour of moral weakness, he takes another dose of the transforming potion.
My devil had been long caged. He came out roaring. I was conscious, even when I took the draught, of a more unbridled, a more furious propensity to ill. Instantly the spirit of hell awoke in me and raged. With a transport of glee, I mauled the unresisting body, tasting delight from every blow. And it was not till weariness had begun to succeed that I was suddenly, in the top fit of my delirium, struck through the heart by a cold thrill of terror.
On one of his nocturne escapades, Edward Hyde kills a prominent member of society, and after being witnessed and identified, he is now on the run. But Dr. Jekyll is now unable to control his transformations, and one day, as he's sitting on a bench in Regent's Park, Mr. Hyde is back.
I began to be aware of a change in the temper of my thoughts. A greater boldness, a contempt of danger, a solution of the bonds of obligation. I looked down. My clothes hung formlessly on my shrunken limbs. The hand that lay on my knee was corded and hairy. I was once more Edward Hyde.
He now desperately needs the drugs to restore his Dr. Jekyll countenance, but he cannot go to his apartment and get them because he's wanted by the police, so he has to call on his colleague Dr. Lanyon for help. Lanyon is asked to go to Jekyll's laboratory to get the drugs for him. Lanyon is then visited by the hideous Mr. Hyde, who, in Lanyon's presence, mixes the potion, drinks it down, and turns into Dr. Jekyll. Lanyon is, of course, shocked. See Lanyon's reaction in part two above. But Dr. Jekyll has a more serious concern.
When I came to myself at Lanyon's, the horror of my old friend perhaps affected me somewhat. I do not know. It was at least but a drop in the sea to the abhorrence with which I looked back upon these hours. A change had come over me. It was no longer the fear of the gallows. It was the horror of being Hyde that wrecked me.
Dr. Jekyll returns to his house. But soon the raging and freezing passions of Hyde take hold of him again, and he pours down a double dose of the draught to regain himself. But this time in vain. The potion is without effect, and life is over for Dr. Jekyll.
Will Hyde die upon the scaffold? Or will he find the courage to release himself at the last moment? God knows. I am careless. This is my true hour of death, and what is to follow concerns another than myself. Here, then, as I lay down the pen and proceed to seal up my confession, I bring the unhappy life of Dr. Jekyll to an end.